All right. Good evening, everybody. We are live at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. Another edition of the Laker Hockey Show. Bill Crawford, and it's not Damon Witten joining me at the top tonight. He'll be joining us during the program tonight, of course. But we've got Diego Cuglietta right out of the gate tonight, and we tried to get him on in the past. He's always ducking us, but we forced him to come in tonight. We had Nelly abduct him at gunpoint and bring him on down here. So, you know, you've had such a great season. You really got to talk to the fans a little bit about this year, not only for you personally, but this team as a whole. We're 20 wins, 8 losses, 2 ties right now. Best record this team's had since 1995-96 at this point in the season. That's a long time. That might go back into your youth days. And I'll tell you what, it's been a great year, and it's been a great year for you. You've got 20 goals right now. You're our first 20-goal scorer since Dominic Minardo did that in 2012-2013, and you've been named Player of the Week a couple of times. You had a heck of a GLI, and it's just been a great year for you personally, but it's been a great year for this team too.
Yeah, I think it's been awesome just playing with these guys. I think we got a great group this year, and you know, we brought in some really good freshmen, and I think we got a really good structure. We're really positive, so it's been a lot of fun so far.
Yeah, you're also a Hobie Baker candidate, you and Anthony, who's here tonight with you. And that right there is just that's just a great accolade for any player to be a Hobie Baker candidate, let alone a strong contender for it, which you are at this point. And you got to be honored by that. I mean, that's the most valuable player in college hockey right there.
Yeah, it's nice. I mean, to get that honor with Nelly, he's one of my best friends, so it's really nice. But at the same time, I mean, it's more talks about the team. I think you wouldn't be here without the team. So, I mean, it's been great that way.
Second nationally in goals scored with the total that you have right now. And I think one of the things for you and for Anthony Nellis and for Gage Terrell as well is you guys were kind of thrown into the fire right from day one. You came in here and you were playing right away as freshmen, and you played all the time. And right now that's paying off. Now you're savvy players at the senior level.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, when we were freshmen, we came in, we didn't really know what was going on. And throughout the years, we got a lot more comfortable. I think now you can see the maturity in us, and it's been good so far.
Yeah. How about your future plans now? I know you're a history major at Lake Superior State. That would tell me you either want to go on with some education or you want to teach some school or something, but you got hockey plans, and I'm sure you're going to get a chance to play at a higher level.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, I want to play hockey as long as I can, and you know, wherever that takes me, we'll see what happens there, and then whenever that is done, I will eventually become a teacher back in Canada.
Yeah, and you're from Kamloops, B.C. It's a long way from Kamloops here. I know your dad's made it over several times this year. The parents always try to come a lot in your senior year because it's the last kick at the can to see you as a college hockey player. And, you know, you got great parental support, and like most of our guys do.
Yeah, my parents are unbelievable. They've been with me since day one. I mean, my dad's retired now, so I think he's just bored. He just kind of comes, wants to see his boy, but he also likes the, you know, the other parents, so it's awesome.
Little trip to Jamaica didn't hurt either.
Yeah, he went for 10 days here, so he's had a good time.
Okay, now you're playing on a line this year with, you mentioned Nelly, and you and he go way back to your first days here as a Laker, but you got Max Humitz out there with you right now. Mm-hmm. That's pretty formidable. There's a lot of talent there, and because you understand each other and know where each other is all the time, that's made this a very, very good line.
Absolutely. I know. I've been playing with Max now for probably 2.5 years, and you know, he's a great shooter. He's got a lot of talent. He's got a good hockey IQ. And playing with Nelly, he's got a lot of skill as well. He's got a good shot, and he's got a lot of speed. So I think those two and myself, I think we bring a good mix on that line. And, you know, obviously we've done well.
Yeah, big weekend for Max. He had game-winning goals in both the games, 2 wins against Michigan Tech, 3-1 each night. And you had quite a night on Saturday. He had 2 goals, including an empty net goal and an assist, a 3-point night in a 3-point game. That's pretty good.
Yeah, it was good, but it was just a big weekend overall for our team. I mean, I don't think we beat Tech for 20 years, I believe.
Yeah, it's been a while. I have that figure here somewhere, but it's been since 1983-84 that we swept them.
Yeah, so I mean, just for the program to beat Tech the way we did, I think that was amazing.
Yeah, and they've always been a good team. I mean, they've been beating us. I mean, your first 3 years here as a Laker, you've taken a lot of lumps from Michigan mm-hmm. Tech, so you're not looking for vengeance there. What we're looking for is to have a great finish to a pretty good season.
Absolutely. You know, we got Northern coming up here, and, you know, they're a good test as well, and we just got to focus game in day by day, and you know, just continue to work.
Yeah, we'll be talking at length with Damon Witten about the Northern Michigan weekend, but how do you look at that? They're a good team. You're going to play. They're on a bigger ice surface. Does that have any effect on the Laker game or how you prepare for it?
I think it's an advantage for our team, to be honest. I think we got a lot of speed, so I think some of our younger guys, they'll be able to wheel around with a little more space. And, you know, Northern's a very good team. They got strong goaltending, good forward depth, but, you know, I think it's a good test for us.
Yeah, a little Coppel Cup action on the line, too. That doesn't hurt when you have a battle with an arch rival like that. But they're coming off losing 5 of a possible 6 points at Bemidji, so they're going to be fired up to play on Friday night at home.
Absolutely. I think it'll be a great rivalry game. And you know, when we go to Northern, their fans are pretty lively, so it'll be exciting.
Yeah, we talked about beating Michigan Tech. First time we've swept them since 83-84, but, you know, that's kind of a skewered figure because we really haven't played them that much through the years until they came into the WCHA or we came in with them. So there were a lot of years there we didn't play, so that figure looks a little bit more impressive than it really is. However, we did get a sweep at Ferris State a few weeks ago. And that was something because it was 23 years between winning two games on that ice surface. And I thought that was a great series for Lake Superior, too.
Yeah, I think it was really well. You know, everyone played really well. I think, you know, we actually dominated them both games. It wasn't just the Friday night. So, I mean, it just shows you what we've been able to do this year. We've been able to beat a lot of teams that people say we can't. So, just shows you our team.
Well, it's been just a great season all the way around, too. How about the GLI? Let's look back at that for a second. That had to be a real highlight so far this season to go into Little Caesars Arena. We were probably, if you looked at that series going in or those two games going in, people would have figured Lake Superior is just thrown in there to have a fourth team, and we end up winning the whole thing and winning it very well.
Yeah, it was an amazing experience. I mean, Little Caesars, it was a great arena. The staff treated us really well, and to go there and play on an NHL ice surface, you don't get to do that every day. And I thought the guys played amazing, and to come out with that win, it was truly special.
You know, you've had a lot of luck this year around the net, and I think that probably comes from what we talked about earlier, where you've been around for 4 years now, and you kind of know where to go, the spots to be in. That goal you scored, the first one on Saturday night, I think you've scored that goal about 4 or 5 times this season, where you just sneak into that spot and bang it in the net. It's what they call a greasy goal.
Yeah.
But it's a darn good goal.
Yeah, I would say most of my goals in my whole career have kind of been around that crease area. I am not scared to get in front of the dirty areas there, so to get that in was nice.
Have you always been the kind of player you are right now, your whole career, like when you played minor hockey, et cetera, when did you get started? When did you first play hockey? And kind of take us through your minor years playing at home and then how you ended up playing at Lake Superior State.
I started around 3 years old just with my dad, just skating around, and then I went to move with my mom in Edmonton, Alberta, and I played my minor hockey throughout till I was Bantam first year, and then I moved back to BC and ended up in Merritt for my junior hockey and played there for 3 years. A lot of fun, a lot of great people I met, and then ended up being here for the last 4.
Yeah, give me an example of a player you played with the Centennials in Merritt who went on to play college hockey. Maybe somebody you've seen a lot over the last 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about Michigan Tech, Dane Burks, he was a Merritt guy for 4 years, and he signed a contract with Pittsburgh, and, you know, we were really good friends when we were in Merritt, so that's a pretty good example.
Yeah, that's a great example, and I think all the guys, you know, you see that a lot when the game's over or a series is over, and you'll see guys out at center ice shaking hands. There's a lot of personal camaraderie that goes on there. There are a lot of these people you're playing against now who you've known for years.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, hockey's a pretty small world, and the more you get up in levels, the more, you know, it's small it gets, and you know a lot of the guys that you played with on previous teams, so it's been good that way.
Yeah, maybe somebody was a teammate of yours back in junior and now he's playing against you.
Yeah.
That Dane Burks would be a good example of that. How about this past weekend? It was exciting in the building. We win 2-1. I thought we had a tremendous crowd on Saturday night, 2,700 plus. That's really good for a WCHA crowd at Lake Superior State. And you guys can kind of feed off that too. The players on the bench notice when the crowd's big.
Absolutely. It's amazing. It was an amazing event. It was put on very well done by Angie Whitten. And, you know, to have that many people, it was awesome. It helped us win, that's for sure.
Yeah, Czech/Survive, that game's an annual, very big game for Lake Superior State. And, you know, we're going to talk to Damon a little bit about some details. I don't know how much they know about it at this point, whether they made a lot of money or did as well as last year or whatever, but it's all for a good cause. And I know you guys like being a part of it. And those were interesting uniforms this year too, that were auctioned off during and after the game.
Yeah, they're pretty nice uniforms. You know, I was really impressed. I just want to say, you know, Max has been through a lot, and, you know, for him to come out and play as well as he did at an event like this, he's been playing great all year, and, you know, it just shows you the kind of person he is. So
yeah,
I just want to put that out there.
I think Max is kind of on a mission right now. He's playing this season for his dad. There's no doubt about it, and he scored a couple of dandy goals, too. The kid can shoot the puck, can he?
Absolutely. He's got a great shot.
Yep. How about this team overall now, the culture of it in the dressing room? I think you mentioned that a little bit earlier, but it's a much improved situation. You've been here 4 years now. This has to be the highlight. This is a group of guys who get along pretty well together. There's no animosity. I don't see any difficulties anywhere, and we haven't had any problems off the ice. This has been a really, really good crew this year.
It has. It's like I said, it's been a really positive year throughout everything, and you know, we talked about a few things at the beginning of the year, what we wanted to do, and right now we've been doing a heck of a job.
Yeah, and these freshmen fit right in. They're kind of picking up, they're listening, and for that matter, sophomores. We got a lot of experienced sophomores right now. You look at a kid like Lucas Keibel, carries himself really well, very professional for a sophomore in college, and he had a heck of a weekend. He's played really well here in the second half.
Yeah, I think he's been great all year. I mean, you know, freshman year he got hurt, and he had a couple unlucky bounces, but, you know, his sophomore year, I think he's been really well, playing really well, and he's a great defenseman.
Yeah, I thought he made a great play on your empty net goal the other night. He kind of sucked a couple guys down there, and once they came down to him to take him, he fed it up the wall, and it came out to you at center, and he didn't miss that one. That was just over the red line in the middle of the net.
Yeah, I've missed a few empty nets in my life, so it's nice to get that one in.
Yeah, but that was just a really good play by Keibel to get that puck out of the zone and up to you. How about your goals for the rest of the season out? You set personal goals. You're one of the guys who's within reach right now of 100 points in your career. You're very close to that. You'd need maybe, I don't know, 7 or 8 the rest of the way in the last 4 regular season games. Do you set goals like that, or do you just set team goals?
No, I think it's about the team right now. I think we just focus on the next game here, and, you know, the individual goals will happen eventually, you know, the farther we go into playoffs, but it's about the team right now.
Yeah, and this has been a strong leadership season for you. You're a captain along with Gage Terrell, and I thought he's had a great year as well. And Nellis is wearing an A, and Nick Kossoff's had a great year. This group is really good with the leadership end of things and showing the way for the other guys, and that's why we've come around. I mean, this is basically, give or take a few guys, same team we had last year, with some injuries out of there.
Yeah, for sure. And like I said, you know, there were some unfortunate events that happened last year that we're not going to talk about right now. But I think this year, it's just, like I said, we started at the beginning of the year. We had a couple things in mind what we wanted to do, and positivity was one of them. And I think we've done that really, really well.
Yeah, I do too. And I think, okay, we got 2 series left. We're going to go to Northern. We know that's a tough place to play. You guys going to practice on the big ice in town here at all this week?
No, I think we're just going to practice on Thursday in Northern.
Alrighty, then you get in 1 skate at least. We're kind of used to that, though. You've been up to Alaska. They have big ice up there. So it's not something like you've never seen it before. And like you said, we're a good skating team. That should be a good situation as well. Sorry. Roy Forrest wanted me to ask you one really important question here. We had a couple more players of the week this past week. In fact, we've had a lot of them this season. But Max Humitz, forward of the week. He had 2 game-winning goals. Really played well, 9 shots on goal, I think, and a number of other positive aspects of his game. So he's forward of the week. And then Steven Ruggiero gets defenseman of the week, and he did have a big goal, an empty net goal on Friday night. I think he was +3 for the weekend. He blocked 6 or 7 shots, so he earned that. And when I compared him to the other defensemen who were runners-up to him this week, he had the better weekend. But how do you get defensive player of the week with 6 penalties?
Yeah, I know, but you know, Ruggs is a really good defenseman in all aspects. I think he, you know, he handles himself really well. He is an emotional guy, and sometimes that you know, he can go over the line, but for the most part, he's been really great for us all year.
Yeah, is he the probably the most talkative player you've ever played with?
Yeah, he's pretty close, I would say so.
He's good in the dressing room, though, and he's a great kid. We're going to miss him, too. He's going to be leaving with you guys. We just learned that maybe a week and a half ago. And that's an honor for him. He's had a couple of good years here at Lake Superior State, but he's going to have to leave at the end of this season and go play pro as well.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he's got a good chance too.
Yeah, I think he does too. He's a great skater and he's going to be a good player at the next level. Diego, thanks for being here, man.
Thank you very
Appreciate
much.
you taking the time. I know you got other things you got to do tonight, so I'll let you get out of here. We got a good crowd on hand again tonight at the Antlers. We'll let Diego get out of here. We'll move Damon Witten in. We'll take our first break of the night. We'll be right back with more from the Antlers on East Portage Avenue on ESPN 1400. Okay, we have a great crowd again tonight at the Antlers on East Portage Avenue. They always put on a good spread down here. You can get adult beverages or soda, whatever you want. Come on down and join us. Certainly every Tuesday night at 6, we'd invite you to come down. They've got a buffet always set up, or you can order off the menu. Antlers does a great job playing host to this show every year. Players of the week, we named Max Humitz forward of the week this past weekend. He had two game-winning goals. He has 14 on the season. He was a plus five with nine blocked, or rather nine shots on goal and one assist. And Steven Ruggiero, defensive player of the week. He had one goal, six blocked shots, was a plus three. He did take a few penalties, but they overlooked that, I guess. And his performance was very strong, and he's a good hockey player. And I think that's his first honor on Player of the Week this season. Zach Driscoll, the goaltender from Bemidji State, was the goaltender of the week for the 5-point weekend against a good Northern Michigan team at Bemidji. And the rookie, Ronnie Salmakangas, the backup goaltender, or at least he was. I think he's the top goaltender now at Ferris State. He won a couple of games up in Anchorage, and he was rookie of the week. Nick Kossoff was an honorable mention as goaltender. He had 31 saves in that win Saturday night. And Jacob Nordquist, this is a very good freshman defenseman. He had three block shots. He was an honorable mention for Rookie of the Week honors. I was looking at this today too. Damon Witten's joining us now, but this bears mentioning because the Lakers have had a lot of Players of the Week this year in the WCHA. For the season now, on week one, Merrick Smittens was the goaltender of the week, and Pete Violette was a rookie. Week five, Jacob Nordquist was the defensive player of the week. Not rookie, but defensive player. Week seven, Ashton Calder was the rookie of the week. And in November, Colin Sackleman was the defenseman of the month, and Nordquist was the rookie of the month. Week 10, Braden Gelsinger, forward of the week. Remember when he had the hat trick up in Alaska? Week 12, Diego Cuglietta was forward of the week. Colin Sackleman was defensive player of the week. Nick Kossoff was the goaltender of the week. And for December, Sackleman again was defenseman of the month. So he's had that award twice this year. Week 14, Max Humitz won his first of two forward of the week honors. Week 17, it was Anthony Nellis forward of the week, and Sackleman was the defenseman of the week. January Rookie of the Month was Ashton Calder, and in week 19 just completed, it was Max Humitz forward of the week and Steven Ruggiero defenseman of the week. That's pretty darn good considering last year we missed the playoffs. This team's darn good.
Yeah, great recognition for you know, those individuals who I think it's very well deserved. You know, it's nice to see Steven Ruggiero, who, you know, doesn't put up the gaudy numbers that some of the guys have that earn some of that attention that the other do. So Steven's, you know, very deserving as a great defensive defenseman. You know, or mainly that's his job, but he's got six goals on the year and done a really good job for us and is part of our, you know, team offense that's been very good. You know, we've talked about it a fair amount this season about the recognition. You just had Diego on, who's a Hobey Baker candidate, along with Anthony Nellis. So, you know, when you have team results, when you have team success, individuals get that honor and that recognition. So I think, again, very well deserved. You know, there's been some tremendous individual play within our team. And I think the favorite part for our staff and amongst our program is, again, there's no envy, you know, amongst our players. You know, I think there's some aspirations aspiration to be like those guys, to win those awards. But our guys support each other. They're thrilled that, you know, Max Humitz or Colin, whoever it is on that given week, is getting the recognition, or guys like Diego and Anthony with the national recognition right now. It's been a very unselfish group, and that shows by our results, and it shows by what we're doing here. So a really, great team to be around because of the unselfishness that these guys show on a day-to-day basis.
You know, we get a sweep of Michigan Tech. First time we've beaten them two games here in this building, or two games anywhere for that matter, since 83-84 season. And of course, we don't play them every year. For a long time there, we didn't play them at all. But that's still a great feather in the caps for these kids, because we've struggled against this team in recent years. You know, you were involved with the staff at Michigan Tech, and Mel and you and the other assistants, whether it be Joe or whomever was there, built a very good program. And for us to beat them twice on our home ice, that's a big deal. And they're still a very good team.
Yeah, they are. They know how to win. They made a good run last year and been to the NCAA tournament. So obviously they're not where they want to be this year. And for some various reasons, they had some big time departures that made it difficult. Like Matt Roy and Joel Esperance just played in the NHL last night, and Joel was a senior, but Matt Roy left early. Mitch Ranke's one of the top American League rookie defensemen scoring. So just like we were hit a couple years back by early departures, it's tough to get through that. But we've talked a lot about Minnesota State, we've talked about Bowling Green, Michigan Tech. Those have been the teams that have led the charge in the new WCHA. Certainly Minnesota State at a different level than anybody else with what they've done there, but Michigan Tech is one of those programs that's been at or near the top of our league, and we've struggled to catch those teams at times. And certainly going down and beating Minnesota State, I think they're the only loss in the last 15-17 games, and then this weekend, it's been so long to do that. And again, that wasn't a focus for us, looking at, it's been so many years since we did this or that. We've had a day-to-day focus and looking at Friday night and just wanting to go and take care of business. So I loved our defensive game. I thought we left some opportunities out there at times. But the way we played defensively, Merrick's played really strong on Friday. Nick was outstanding Saturday. That switch in goalie rotation was for a couple different reasons, but those are some of the guys that missed a lot of practice during that bye week. We kind of mentioned we weren't sure if we'd be full strength or not, and those two, both missed time, and Nick more than Merrick. So we were a little bit concerned. We're trying to get him as much rest and recovery as we could. And then when you look at the challenges we've had on Saturday at home, we thought putting a senior in, relied on our seniors. We've, pushed our seniors and demanded a lot from them, and they've responded. So we thought it was a good time to make that flip in the starting rotation with our goaltenders. And again, Merrick's played great Friday. Nick went in, was really, really good Saturday as well. And, it was great for us to put that Saturday issue behind us and get a good weekend sweep.
Yeah, that was one we were going to mention too. We were 0-5-1 going into that game Saturday night at home on Saturday. And, that was just a great effort. I thought that game was pretty much in control most of the time. We kept Tech away from the front of our net. They didn't get a lot of grade A opportunities. And big empty net goal for Diego. Great play on that one by Keibel. And I just thought it was a great weekend for the Lakers and the Laker fans. We had a tremendous crowd on Saturday night, too, for Check/Survive.
Yeah, well, again, I both nights, I think, 7-8 grade A's on Saturday, maybe 10-11 on Friday. We limited about 7 or 8 Saturday, 10-11 grade A's. So again, just real good defensive structure to our game. We gave up 5 goals in the 2 losses, Minnesota State and Bemidji. Ferris scored too late to get 3 goals, but we've been really good defensively down the stretch, and I think that's critical this time of year and going into playoffs. You have to be really good as a team. It's not just your decor, it's not just goaltending, it's a commitment across the board, and we've done a pretty good job of that. Some areas we'd like to continue to clean up, but that's been strong. I thought Gage Terrell Friday night, 2 assists. Again, he's a little bit left behind sometimes with some of the offensive accomplishments with guys like Max and Diego and Anthony, but I thought Gage was just outstanding weekend once again. It's not about the points necessarily, it's his details defensively, it's the habits he plays with. So I thought Gage had a major impact, and Max Hume, it's a great game-winning goal 4-on-4. I think he leads the team in game-winning goals and up there, in the league and national game-winning goal leaders. And then it was the Diego's line on Saturday, just dominated, took control, and they're a pretty scary line. There's almost 100 points on that line, and one of the top 3 or 4 scoring lines in the country. And we need them to be good. We're going to go on the road this weekend. We're Northern. I'm sure we'll try to do some matching up with a shutdown checking line and some D pairings against those guys, which opens up some opportunities opportunities for some other guys, but we're getting contributions throughout the lineup, and a really good weekend, capped off, as you said, with a great Saturday night attendance and crowd. I thought it was, since Michigan, our best crowd. Kudos to the Check/Survive committee. They do a great job, and a lot of great volunteers to make that big effort go off smoothly. There's not numbers yet, but I know it's another very successful weekend in terms of raising funds for our community and helping those in need. So it was a great moment. I thought from the national anthem right through the win, our crowd was with us and energy in that building, and it really fed our team.
Yeah, it was a great weekend for Laker hockey, and a lot of people talking about it since. This has been a really good year. This is the first time in a long, long time. I think Mark Vasey put out some figures today. The last time we had 330-point scorers in our lineup, and we do have Nellis, Cuglietta, and Humitz all with 30 points right now or better. Diego's got 34. He leads the WCHA in points. And the last time we had that, I know it was Trent Campbell and Troy Schwab were two of the three, and that's a long time ago, and this is a great year.
Yeah, again, it's been good. The results show that. I think when you look at that, those guys, I think, finished at 30, so we've got a couple weeks left, hopefully a long playoff run, so, these guys will have a chance to really, make a mark. And then that was something when we recruited these guys and, Rich and Pete and, going back to that original staff makeup, we shared that vision. We thought we could, get to a level to compete for championships and get back to the tournament. We're very close right now. But real credit to Anthony and Gage and Diego and Nick, and there's some others that are no longer with us that, gave us that opportunity to recruit them and come in and stick with it. And, there's been some challenges along the way for sure, and some tough years, but it's nice to see that paying off. And I couldn't be more proud of those seniors for what they've gone through and sticking with it, and the job they've done this year to turn it around and to make it positive and to compete and stay with it. So I'm really indebted to them and what they've done.
Yeah, they've had a great year, and I know they don't like to take the individual accolades. You can see Diego, he doesn't like it when you're pointing out what he's doing, because it's a team effort for him. But hey, he deserves a lot of accolades this year, and he's well up in the balloting right now for Hobie Baker as well. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We'll talk about the Northern Michigan series coming up and a number of other things when we return to the Antlers on ESPN 1400. Okay, we're into the second half of the Laker Hockey Show tonight, live from the Antlers. Yeah, we got a crowd of 40.
Some rowdy guys.
It sounds like
there.
1,000.
Some rowdiness. Yeah, I like it.
Dave Watson and his crowd of thousands. I wanted to check this out, too. Diego Cuglietta has 34 points right now. Max has 30, and Anthony Nellis has 30. That's the first time that we've had three 30-point players in our lineup since 2006, 2007, when it was Trent Campbell, Troy Schwab, and Derek A. Smith, and they all had 30 points that year, and that's how they finished. And that's how good a season this has been. This is not done yet. The Lakers have a big series coming up this weekend. I know we've talked many times about it this season on this show and off mic, et cetera, about dividing the season into 10-game portions. That's what you've done, and you're off to a pretty good final 10-game portion right now, and you'd like to keep that going this weekend.
Yeah, it is. We're 4-0 in this last segment. With the regular season, it'll only be 8 games in that, so we'll wrap that up with 8 and go that way. But you can't ask for any better results. I think we can continue to get better. A little bit stagnant coming off the bye week this past weekend, and you're always questioning yourself as a coach: did we do too much? Did we do enough? We were pretty easy on the guys, in terms of our workload. We wanted to make sure we came out healthy, and that was a big issue for us. We wanted to be rested for the stretch run and into playoffs. So I hope we look wise this weekend as we hit the road for the last time in the regular season. But I do believe we're fresh. I do believe we're rested. We got the wins this weekend. Again, I'm not sure we were at our best, but we played well in some areas and did a good job of getting the win. So, you know, we'll see here how we do this weekend, but you know, we've got to get on the road and do a good job. So we're 4-0 in this segment. Again, we've been real deliberate with our day-to-day focus. Even on Monday, you know, we talked about some of these awards, we talked about pairwise, we talked about, you know, WCHA standings, and those things are all distractions. You know, you don't control some of those things that are going to happen. All you can control, we wanted the guys just worry about the next 35 minutes. You know, we were short on Monday. You know, worry about this 35 minutes. We went short by design so you could go out and play with a lot of pace and touch pucks. And you know, we were going to control the workload by keeping it brief. You go out, be dialed right in, and we did a good job of that. And you know, today was a solid day, and got some special teams work in. We'll do the same tomorrow. What 4-0, only focus is getting to 5-0 Friday night. And so our guys have done a good job, and we'll continue to have that day-by-day focus.
Yeah, we're talking, you know, the fans follow very carefully. All you got to do is take a look at social media to see it, but a lot of people are very concerned about this team making the NCAA tournament right now, and here we're worried about where we're going to finish to get into the WCHA tournament and who we might play. It looks right now we could be second, and we could play Alaska. We could be third and play Michigan Tech again in a two out of three series right here. In fact, Dirk Hambrow said, "I'll see you again in a few weeks," when he left the other night. But, you know, that stuff is distracting to a team. You don't want to be thinking about that as the players or as a coaching staff. You leave that to the rest of us who follow what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, and our guys, as you mentioned with Diego, he's got friends at Michigan Tech. He's got friends other places. So there's a general awareness of what's going on. Steven Ruggiero is a guy who's really, really into following all those things. He's a total hockey junkie. You know, he knows everything going on at the NHL level, across college hockey, pairwise. So Steven, you know, relays some of that. And there's some talk. But, again, the focus can't be on that. The focus has to be on showing up at the rink, ready to play, ready to lift. You know, your habits away from the rink, getting that really good rest and recovery this time of year. You know, and again, we've stressed that. That's our only focus there, is taking care of what you can control, because that stuff, you know, is out of our control. We have to win hockey games, and if we win hockey games, we're going to give ourselves a good chance to extend the season. And if we don't win hockey games, we all know where we'll be. So, you know, be ready to play Friday night and be prepared for Northern Michigan.
Yeah, trying to get into that top 14 for the tournament at the end of the year, that's really, I think we're 16th or 17th or 18th right now. We're ranked 18th in the polls, but that doesn't matter near as much as the RPI and the index, rating index matters. But we just got to win out right now. We can't afford a loss. There's nothing we can do about the fact we lost a couple of games we shouldn't have to Alaska or non-conference schedule. Denver backed out on us. There's nothing we can do about that.
No, you win games and you know, prepare that way. And it's just not a focus. You know, we're focused on continuing our regular season, this 10-game segment. And, you know, you see where you land. Obviously, our goal is to finish as high as possible. Right now we're in second place, and it's a great spot. You know, Minnesota State, what a run they've done over the last 5, 6 years, whatever it's been. You know, Mike Hastings deserves a ton of credit for what he's built there. And not only built, but sustained year to year. So, you know, at this point, I know mathematically there's still a little bit of opportunity for somebody to catch them, but there's no way they're going winless in their last four games. They're just too much of a powerhouse. So, you know, that's pretty much wrapped up. And from there, we're going to scratch and claw and try to finish as high as we can finish. And we'll see where the teams behind us fall and what that matchup looks like.
You know, we got a lot of questions from our fans as usual here tonight, and I want to get into those before we run out of time here tonight. This is a busy Laker hockey show tonight. It always goes by quickly, but this one, there's a lot of stuff going on here. Do we have, and this might be totally keep you off guard or catch you off guard here as to whether you can even answer this, but are we going to play in a tournament in Florida next year so our fans can get warm?
Well, they don't have anymore. They've taken a hiatus for a little bit, but Craig Brush with the Florida Everblades runs that, and I play with his son Pat. We were teammates, so believe me, I've been in Craig's. We won it, you know, whatever it was, 3, 4, 5 years ago, and I told Craig, as a winner, you know, we're next up. You got to get us back in because we got to defend our championship. So if we can get warm, we'll get warm. We're actually, you know, team-wise, if any fans, you know, are planning, but we'll have a long trip to Alaska next year, you know, in a January type of setting there. So we'll do a 10-day trip up there. So if you're not getting warm, but if you want to come see a beautiful part of the world, see me, I'll get you the dates and you can start making your plans.
Okay, we got another question from a fan who's with us here tonight, and I don't know how you even answer this because I don't know how you would know what's going on with this, but What was the explanation from the referees as to why Coach Sean was talking so long between periods on Saturday night? I didn't really notice that, but
I can't remember. I know he waited because you know you're just kind of curious, you want to know. But I can't remember. I think whatever they came over with, to me it wasn't a major concern or issue. It was too slow. I thought, you know, as I was on the refs a little bit, to like, you know, let's go. Coming out of media timeouts and line changes, obviously the visiting team. You know, they only get so many seconds and the hand goes up. It just felt like the pace of the game. I mean, we wanted to play and use our depth and use our speed there. So it did seem like a slow game. Even the goal, they were reviewing a hit on Hampus. We couldn't even really see it from the bench, but I guess as it happened live, they skated by each other and said, hey, we need to take a look at that. And then they scored 2 or 3 minutes later and had to go back. Had it been a 5-minute major, and they didn't call anything live, and it should have been a call, but they, you know, whatever. It wasn't a 5-minute major, didn't deserve a 5-minute one on video review, but that goal would have come off the board, and, you know, Joe would have blown a gasket there because that was a big momentum shift for them to get some life and get going there. But they reviewed it, didn't warrant a 5-minute major. I thought it should have been a penalty live, but that was the situation there. So there's a delay after that. They're looking back, and they would have put time back on the clock, take the goal off. So that would have been an interesting kind of, you know, I think a big momentum shift from them to take a goal off the board and go back going there.
Another question from the fans here. Evidently, there were some people up around the rink today when you were practicing, reporters perhaps, or TV people or something. Is there? I don't know anything about
that.
Yeah,
no, I don't know who saw that. It was up there, but it's really interesting. Mike York's finished his career in Germany. I'm not going to pronounce it right. Iserlohn. I'm not sure. I hope it's German. But wherever he played with the Roosters there, he played 6 years, I believe. I don't know if he's in their Hall of Fame or retired jersey. I think they're talking about that. But they're doing like a 25 or 50-year documentary of some of their best players in the history of that program. So they've got a German film crew that they flew to the States, came up here to interview York and spend some time with Mike York to build this documentary for their fans back home at their local theater. I'm not sure when they'll have this project completed, but they're going to, you know, premiere it back in that hometown of that hockey program. They actually fly out tomorrow morning, go down to Houston to see Bobby Reynolds, who's a Michigan State grad from mid-Michigan. So, yeah, they raised a bunch of money to make this documentary on their history and their tradition, and Mike is a big part of that organization. So they came over to do a piece on Mike York. It was pretty cool. And we gave them full access. They were in the locker room beforehand and practice, so we really wanted to make sure they got some good footage from Mike. I think he's very deserving of that recognition because he was a big part of that franchise.
Yeah, we talk about it a lot on our broadcast. What a great player he was. He was a tremendous college player, as good as I saw during that time period, probably the best player playing the game at that time. And he went on and played in the NHL and played in an NHL All-Star game or two and then finished up in Europe. Here he is helping us out, and he even filled in for you post-game Saturday night. I figure that's because you didn't have any voice.
No, I was fine. I was better for Saturday night there. But, the reasoning is, I don't want to throw those guys on when it's not successful weekend. You know, I'll take the heat and the blame there. So I think there's some chances sometimes to get some guys on and share a different perspective. I never get the luxury of hearing them in between periods. I'm sure, I guess we don't do it on the road. So most of you sitting here don't either because you're usually in the rink. But, Mike, like you mentioned, 10, 11 years in the NHL, he knows how to handle himself around the media, and I think it's good development for those guys. So that was why I did get out a little bit to watch the guys go ring the bell. I don't very often get to see that. So, got to do that. I had a lot of family in town, and it was a big weekend. The national anthem singer was my cousin, and Scott Allen did a great job.
Yeah, he was really good.
Yeah, did a tremendous job. So I had him up with his boys, and my mom was up to see them as well. So, chance to – not a lot of opportunities sometimes to do some of that. So I try to – take some moments to see my kids and spend a couple minutes when I can do it.
Okay, another question about injuries. Do we have anything that's serious right now? I don't think anybody's going to miss a game this weekend who would normally play, so knock on wood there, that's right. It's been that kind of season, though.
Yeah, no, again, a lot of credit to our staff behind the scenes, Natalie Reynolds and Nate. Nate Williams doing a tremendous job with our athletic training and our strength conditioning. So, no, everybody practiced today, and, there's no even red jerseys or limited guys, things like that. So, as of today, everybody was a full go, and we just hope we can continue that, this next couple weeks into playoffs.
Okay, there's one other comment before we take our final break here tonight. This one is Blanket Loggins. Don't let him get on the score sheet.
Well, you know, it's not just Loggins. I mean, he's a good player. He's got 15 goals. I think 7 of those are on the power play. And I think, you know, team discipline, you know, Steven Ruggiero, Defensive Player of the Week, you know, we need him on the ice. He's one of our best penalty killers as well. So when he's taken, I think, 8 penalties or so on the weekend, or 6 maybe, it's way too many. But, you know, Loggins is a very good player. Belews had a tremendous second half, you know, maybe a slow start for a lot of, I think they had 40, 50 points, a couple of those guys last year. You know, started slow, but they're playing now. Belews been really, really good for them. Loggins is really good. Rockwood had, you know, 40, 50 points last year. So they can really hurt you. You know, Tolvin in the net, we all know how good Tolvin is. It seems like he's been around for 10 years. He's 140 career games, something like that. He's played all but like 16 minutes this year. So this is a good team. This is a dangerous team. You know, and we want to make sure discipline wise, it's 5-on-5 game, because they do a lot of damage on their power play. It's a very good unit, a very dangerous unit with those guys and others. Denver Pierce, you know, again, having a very strong year, really hard player to play against. He plays heavy. He plays hard. He can shoot the puck a ton, and he's a power play guy for them. So a lot of guys to really be aware of this weekend.
Yeah, they've got some big defensemen too, and they got a sophomore named Joe Nardi who's very good offensively. Luke Walton. This is a good lineup, and yeah. They're probably underachieving up at Bemidji, but hey, Bemidji's tough right now. Look out for those guys come playoff time, and it's going to be a hands-full time this weekend at Northern Michigan. We're going to take a break. We'll be back. We're going to talk about some recruiting, some players who may be coming in, players who've signed national letters of intent. We'll be right back with more Laker Hockey Show on ESPN 1400. All right, our final segment of the Laker Hockey Show on a Tuesday night. We usually mention how nasty it is outside. It was really beautiful today in Sault Ste. Marie. In fact, the last couple of days we've had sunny skies. It's been cold, but hey, that's winter, and at least we haven't had to shovel up 10, 12 inches of snow, although they say we're going to get that this weekend here. They're calling for 10 inches again on Saturday night going into Sunday.
Well, you can look out our window, too, and see a full moon rising over the St. Mary's River.
It's looking good outside.
Marie, yeah,
it's beautiful here tonight. So, you know, sometimes we get nice weather in the winter. Okay, we've got some things to talk about. A couple of questions that I didn't get to from the fans here tonight include are about recruiting. And, you know, I think this one's real good, a really good point. Positive vibes coming from potential recruits now because of the direction this program's gone in this season and how it's been going the last couple of years. Does it have an effect when you're talking to potential recruits that this team's 28-2 right now and doing pretty well?
Well, I think that's a huge effect. You know, we saw that, you know, role at Michigan Tech, you know, as we got going. And style of play is a big part of that as well. You know, it's you know, obviously it's great to win games. That's the ultimate goal. And, you know, we don't want to give up defense and being a sound, structured team defensively to run around and be a high-scoring team. But, you know, most kids want to play hockey. You know, they want to get up and down. They want to play with skill. So when we go recruit a defenseman and let them know that our D-Corps are one of the highest-scoring D-Corps in the country, we've got no seniors in that D-Corps. We've got 2 Hobie Baker candidates and one of the highest-scoring teams in the country. That's pretty powerful. So, you know, it definitely does have a big impact on that. You know, these kids all know each other these days. And, you know, with social media, they know the rankings and where teams are at. So it definitely does, you know, and you want to be ready to kind of strike and, you know, use that to your advantage when it happens there. And then, it, you know, when that happens, it gets a little bit easier. You know, when kids are looking around, you know, they want to go to winning programs and winning teams. And, you know, we've always had a great history and tradition here that we've sold hard, and, you know, we want to keep building, you know, and so that'll have a big impact on what we're doing.
Recruiting now, to get into a few names, and we've mentioned these players already this season on this show, but it bears mentioning now. We're at that time in the year when everybody's starting to look past this year and look to next year. We're going to lose 4 really good seniors, in fact, 5, with Steven Ruggiero now joining that senior crew. And, you know, school's still out on a guy like Colin Sackleman, whether he might be back next year. And we got Mitch Oliver in the wings. We got Alex Samandel. They both shown that they can play, one in practice, the other actually with 12 games under his belt already this season. But we've got some kids who've got to come in here. They're 20 years old. It's either come now or don't come at all. They've already signed national letters of intent. Let's just talk for a second about, or maybe 30 seconds, about each guy. Roberts Bluger, big forward. He's about 6'3", 225. He's playing in Madison right now in the USHL. He's got 5 goals. Only 11 points, but that's a good league, and that's a team that may or may not be doing well right now, but Roberts has got to come in here next year.
Yeah, you know, it is a team that, you know, they might have the worst record, so the numbers are a little bit inflated down or deflated, I guess, because they don't score much and they don't win a whole lot. So challenging year in some ways. You know, I think as a coach, you always, you know, we'll talk about Dustin Mann's a little bit. PG just set a franchise record, Prince George, sorry, just set a franchise record for wins in a long-standing, you know, proud BCHL town. And so I think as a coach, you always like to feel like guys are coming and knowing how to win, learning how to win, going into playoffs. So, you know, so, you know, it's challenging, but you also learn a lot about yourself when you're going through a tough season there. But, you know, I'm a big fan of Robert Bluger's. His brother Teddy just got up to the NHL this year. He spends his summers with Ted, trains with him. He's surrounded by high-end guys, a Shattuck kid. You know, I think there's a real big ceiling there and a little bit of a sleeper for some people. But, you know, I like Robert a lot, and I think he's going to be a big, big player, a good player for us. You know, we're losing a couple of centermen, and it's going to be a competitive battle to see. You know, we probably might have to shift one or two guys out of the middle and into the wing, but it's going to be some opportunities for some guys to win roles when you look at Diego Gage playing center for us right now.
Another one who is going to be aged out if he doesn't come, so he's coming next year, is Nico Esposito-Selivanov, and he's got good bloodlines. He's related to Phil Esposito. He's his grandson. He's only 5'9", 175, but he's got 18 goals, 39 points out in the BC League.
Yeah, and it started the year in Waterloo, so he hasn't been there all season long, and you know, he's got dual citizenship there. But again, another Shattuck connection there, and you know, again, Nico is going to be a good player. He's kind of that water bug, you know, maybe Gelsinger a little bit, maybe Max Humitz a little bit in terms of the quickness and the burst. He probably plays a little bit more jam or nastiness in those guys. He's got a little, you know, like that Italian blood there. He can run a little hot, and but a real competitive player, skilled player. Again, I think a real good fit for where we're at and what he'll bring to our team.
Chase Pulaski, he's a defenseman playing in Green Bay for the Gamblers USHL. He's got 11 points on the season. Not a big point guy, but he's got pretty good size. He's 5'11 and a half, 190, and he's a defenseman.
Yeah, Chase is interesting because he was, we'll talk about Dustin Mann's a little bit, but back when his U16 year with Little Caesars, he's been committed for a long, long time. And, you know, Chase led the HPHL in scoring that year for defensemen. He was a real high-end, elite skating defenseman. You know, went to Waterloo as a young guy, played a ton early. They brought two college guys back around Christmas. And then since then, it's kind of, you know, pushed around a little bit because of those guys leaving colleges and coming back to the USHL. So he's back trending the right way, playing well on a Green Bay team that's well coached with Pat Mikisch. And again, you know, he fits what we're doing, you know, Jacob Nordquist a little bit, you know, smart hockey player, very good mobility, can move pucks. And, you know, it's Colin Sockerman. I'm not sure. It'd be interesting to see Sockerman's numbers out of Waterloo, because we kind of envisioned Colin a little bit differently than what he was using in Waterloo. We thought there was more offense, you know, and that's blossomed here. And so I think Chase is the same way. He's maybe not utilized the same way that we envisioned the way we can use him in a skill set. So, you know, playing out of that league, it's such a hard league. He's playing guys every night that are draft picks and high-end guys, and that translates really well to college hockey.
Okay, the other defenseman is Mike Manera. He's got 5 goals, 19 points. He's 5'9", 172. He's playing in Trenton, I think, in the OJHL, unless he moved since I last looked at his stats.
Yeah, no, Mike, another, I don't know if fans here remember Chris Leibinger from Michigan Tech a couple years back, but Chris was a part of that really good D-Corps we built over there.
Right.
Elite mobility. He's quick. He's fast. Elite skill set. It gets Mike in trouble every now and then because he never met a simple play. He likes to make these highlight real plays, and he can do them. So it's, you know, it's kind of scary what he brings there, and also extremely competitive kid. Like, he's one of the guys that, you know, if you touch his goalie, you're going down, you go in the corner with them. It's elbows, it's stick. It's a very competitive player, and you know, a phenomenal kid. He's a great locker room guy, really fits our character as well.
Okay, and let's get to Mr. Manns. I'm really impressed by this kid. He's out of Vanderbilt, Michigan, Dustin Manns. He's 5'11", 201 pounds, 31 goals, 37 assists, 68 points for Prince George, one of the best teams in the BCHL.
Yeah, no, Dustin's had a great year. And again, him and Chase, that U16 year with Little Caesars, Dustin was a top five scorer or so for the as forwards. You know, they have a place on Sugar Island, so they love the area. You know, Vanderbilt's not far away either. You know, again, you talk about character, habits, doing things the right way. Everywhere Dustin's gone, they've won, and I think that's kind of who the kid he is. Again, some people don't appreciate Dustin maybe the way I do, and we value him. But wherever he goes, they win. He was in Aston with Mitts the year that Aston had a tremendous year. Went up to PG, wears a letter for PG as an American player, and you know, they just set a career franchise record for wins. He's fourth in the league right now in offense. I think top four or five in goals. You know, I love Dustin Mans. I think he's a guy you win with. Great on faceoffs, great off the wall, wins puck battles, and then the skill set to score, set up. I think he's a guy you win with, and I'm not sure you can say, you know, a better compliment to Kit than just that, I guess.
Okay, that's five will be coming in next year from the looks of it. We're not positive about Mans. He could go back and play another year at junior. He's only 19 years old.
No,
right,
Dustin
now
be coming in. He's ready. He's over ready.
He's definitely coming in.
Well, that's part of what we talk with guys is being over ready. And, you know, sometimes you're over ready as a 19-year-old. Sometimes, you know, it takes that extra year. But, you know, we tell guys all the time, you know, it might be a true freshman. If you, wherever league you're in, and it might be high school, you know, whatever it is, if you're over ready, you know, we're not afraid to bring you in. We've done that a couple of times here with Hedrick and Morgan, Michigan Tech, one of our best players, Jajar Kara, Blake Pietola. Over ready is over ready. You know, what are you going to go back to the BC League and, you know, score 38? Like, there's no difference there. So
he's got 31 goals.
Yeah. So Dustin's over ready and he'll be joining us.
All righty. That sounds good. We want to mention before we get out of here, we're out of time as usual. We just don't have enough time to pack everything in. March 2nd is senior night. Don't forget that against Ferris State. The Blue Lanterns will be playing host to the parents of our Laker hockey seniors and others. That'll be in the Blue Line room. It'll be open at 5 p.m. that night. Bring a snack or an appetizer to share if you wish, although you don't have to. And it will be our last home game of the regular season. We're certainly hoping it's not our last home game. April 25th, that's a Thursday night. That's the annual hockey banquet this year. It will be at the Kuwaitan Casino this season. And that'll all start at 5 p.m., so make your plans for that. We'll have more details on that. We'll certainly hit it during our broadcasts and at the hockey show next week. We're out of time. We got to get out of here. Matt Pocket, a great job as usual helping us out here. Emily Pentecost back at the station. Damon, thanks for being here. Thanks to Diego. Thanks for Nelly bringing him down here. That's another Laker hockey show on ESPN 1400.